Sandman Mattress Factory, fifth quarter.
Sandman Mattress Factory, of course, Torquay Road in Grovedale. Rebecca and Brett and Brent and all the team will look after you there at the Sandman Mattress Factory. Benny, the KFC Twitter has gone absolutely nuts. You can call us 5223 2955. Want to hear from your Cat fans. Text us as well, 0456 955 955, or Twitter at KROC Football. Thanks to KFC, which have a cheap as chips feast. Order now online or via the app. Let's have a look at some of the reaction on Twitter. Benny?
Yeah, Tamcat suggesting you don't want to know my thoughts. Fail suggesting we're in big trouble. Joey Cazine, it's hard to want to complain when you've just won the flag, but the midfield looks cooked. It was a premiership hangover, and then they all look like they're still partying at 2 a.m. at Lammy's. Tony...
have you seen them there, Ben?
Just in back goals. No, I haven't seen them at Lamb Chops.
No, they were talked. So Patrick Dangerfield, that tweet there, Benny, Patrick Dangerfield had only two possessions in the last quarter, and they came at the 24 and 27-minute mark.
Yeah, that's not ideal from your skipper. Matt suggested tongue-in-cheek that we're going for Harley Reid, who is the kid who has a lot of raps on him.
Yeah, the Bendigo.
Matthew Field, Geelong looks slow, and we need more run from the midfield and more goal kicks to help Hawkins and Cameron out. Cameron played well again today, but Tommy Hawkins still looks well off the pace. Spectacularly bad from Adrian Mancini. No energy, run or confidence. Can't play much worse. Probably one of the worst performances we have had under Chris Scott. Nick and Jackland, abhorrent stuff. Where was the attacking footy gone? It's legitimately unwatchable. Kara, if someone reloaded Windows 10 version of the Cats operating system, gone from pretty hard flowing football to putrid. Hawkins to rest, Neil in, Bruin out, Simpson in, Colo must. Meanwhile, mids need to go to look for their pants. Singapore Cat. Plenty of frustrated Cat fans out there. Kingy, it wasn't a great night for the Cats, or a great afternoon, I should say.
Yeah, officially a hangover from Crocker, not the same team, playing as individuals. A lot will need to change even to make the eight. Season is done. Dylan, the Cats aren't contending in 2023. David Hards, playing and coaching staff involved in today's game should donate all game payments to the Royal Children's Hospital appeal. Need to achieve something this weekend. Ruined my Sunday afternoon. How are we so bad? Hawkins not even close to being fit. Charlie Lambert, the bottom has finally fallen out, I think. So a lot of frustrated Cats supporters. Nearly, they did, of course, only win a flag just over 6 months ago. So I don't think it's completely gone, but 0-3 is a lot of work. What signs did you see today that you didn't like? What were some of the things that Gold Coast controlled the contest, but what are things Geelong didn't do that they had control over?
Well, I think you mentioned that you felt Gold Coast played the game on their terms, which they did. So numbers up around the ball. So that was good for Gold Coast, because Geelong, they were very fumbly in and around a whole lot of traffic. So that's something you don't like to see. One of the other things, Kingy, their ability to get delay on the ball and slow it up when Gold Coast got the interceptions, which they were always going to get because they were pushing mass numbers in behind the ball and preventing long entries to one-on-one. Once they got the ball, Kingy, Gold Coast looked to use the middle of the ground and use it quickly. They didn't do it all the time, but when they did it, they just carved through Geelong and it went down the other end. And particularly when De Koning went off, they were obviously a bit light down there for height, which meant that the Gold Coast Suns could move the ball quickly, get it into one-on-ones themselves. So they're probably the things. Now, when Geelong made a bit of a run at it in the last quarter, some of the things they did do were good. There was that passage of play where they shifted the ball off the line, they went inside 45 short, got a handball receive, Cameron marked the ball. And we can't, you don't want to always put it on the key forwards because they're doing a lot of hard work. Cameron misses the goal. The next passage of play, Geelong got a forward 50 stoppage, which are always good to get. Setup was fantastic. I think it was Rowell who kicked the ball out. Tui puts it back in. Hawkins doesn't make the distance. So there were things there to like. So that structure was there. But I think the two main things, just fumbly around the ball, around mass numbers, and then being unable to defend the fast ball movement by the Suns through the middle. It'll be interesting to see, if we get a chance to speak to a player, how they felt about the game. But that's what it looked like. A lot of mess. We were sort of saying at halftime, it's quite a chaotic game, really messy, not a lot of good skills. Game breaks open, and for the last, whatever it's been, year and a bit, it's normally Geelong that then when the game breaks open, say, you know, look out. But you're right at the start, 0-3 is not ideal. It's not it's not throw away the season, I wouldn't thought, but they do have some work to do.
There are still 20 games back to play.
There are. We learnt that Ben was unaware of that extra game early on, but we're...
They might need it, the Cats.
Well, they might to make a late run home. So a few disturbing things, Kingy, no doubt.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on Sam DeConing. That's another issue out of this contest for St John of God. We put you first, St John of God, Meyer Street in Geelong. He had a head clash with Nick Holman. Both players, eyes on the ball, and heads have come together. And, well, Sam DeConing had been towing a fine line when it came to collisions in the first couple of weeks.
He's had a busy start.
He's come from the ground a couple of times against both Carlton and Collingwood, respectively, and found himself this time not coming back onto the ground. And we suspect that he's a concussion, and as a result of that, that means he won't play.
Auckland, yeah. And that's a look, as tough as that is right now, that's the best thing for the welfare of the player, which is important. Now, Kingy, a few of the local Ocean Grove boys just doing a bit of a warm-up for the 20-year reunion that's about 4 weeks away, the best that they've come up with. Not too bad. Mm-hmm. They believe after winning the premiership, everyone's wanted the Cats to go down the bottom of the ladder and rebuild. So they think they'll get two picks. They'll put in for a priority pick, which is not too... No, it's not a bad effort for a Sunday afternoon from the Ocean Grove boys. But... we wouldn't go that far just yet, Tom.
Okay.
Afternoon short.
Yeah. I'd put Atkins and Stengel in the group two of those that not in great nick at the moment. Dan, 1 point from a clearance. The midfield led by our so-called captain is pathetic. That's from Dan. Glenn, so far it seemed like a lap of honour year rather than an actual tilt at another flag. Mick McMahon, absolutely pathetic, not playing for each other. Want to play bruise-free footy. Don't want to do the hard stuff. Too many skill errors. 10 minutes into the game, walking around hands on hips. Just long bombs time and time again into the forward line, getting picked off. They looked lost. Daz Broncos, can someone set an alarm down at the Cattery? Let them know 2023 started. Slow out of the gate. Brooke, absolutely disgraceful. Where's the energy? Hard to blame the defenders when there's no pressure from the midfielders and no forward pressure. Time for a few to go back to the Magoos. Perhaps someone have won their flag and are now extracting the urine. Not in those words. She probably a bit harsher than that. Angus Evans, C, Guthrie, Z, Guthrie, B, close. Might need a couple of weeks with the bankers, which is... Or is that, oh, Zach Guthrie is actually one that whose season, I think, has actually been a pass mark so far.
Yeah. Look, yes, we know supporters, they wear their hearts on their sleeves. They become quite emotional and they'll see some things. And at this stage, Kingy, what you see, some of the errors, they just get, you know, highlighted and highlighted. The players, some of them are doing some good things, but clearly some of them are not going anywhere near where they were last year, and there's some glaring things. That pressure around the forward line is something that is really missing, Kingy. So probably high half forward and then through the middle. It's just not there.
Fowle's gone from being the envy of the competition to the laughing stock and absolutely no respect being shown. I was okay with the first two, but not happy at all with what was dished up today. Time for some hard, tough conversations and reflections. Well, that's not how Geelong operates. Like, Geelong keeps a fairly level...
Yeah, so they should. It's a,
like, whether they win or lose, you...
But that's, yes, King, you're right. And that's a professional organisation. And one of the things that they'll have some goals they want to achieve for the year. They know exactly how they want to go about it. In, you know, high-performing sport, you do have to resist the temptation to react from week to week to a couple of poor performances. You just need to resist that temptation and understand how you want to go about it and who's actually really contributing. Take the emotion out of it, and good organisations, the difference between a win and a loss really from week to week, you shouldn't know too much.
Just around the grounds, MCG this afternoon, Melbourne and Sydney. Our third quarter is underway. Melbourne 10-3-63, lead the Swans 7-6-48. So Melbourne's accuracy helping them to a 15-point advantage there. They're about 7 minutes into the third quarter. Just looking at some of the numbers from that contest so far. Joel Amati, who couldn't barely miss last week, in front of goal for the Swans, has three behinds for the afternoon, no goals. A couple of goals for Papley and Franklin for the Swans. Clayton Oliver, and I reckon this bloke's going to prove to be a really handy pickup for Melbourne, and that's Lachie Hunter.
He's a good player, Lachie, yeah. The fella from the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to prove to be one that's just...
How did they get him? What happened there?
Well, you'll know. Dogs let him go. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep, happy to do a deal.
They're flying.
They won on Friday night.
They did. Thursday night, Brisbane Bulldogs looked like the first three quarters of this. The Bulldogs had that game exactly the way they needed to play it, without letting Brisbane get on the outside, numbers up around the ball, or those sorts of things. Gold Coast did pretty much the same thing, but only for three quarters.
Patrick Dangerfield, we're hoping to speak to very shortly. We're just working through that with the Cats at the moment in this fifth quarter. For the Sandman Mattress Factory, sleep better with the Sandman's locally made two-sided mattresses, made to outlast any other. Benny, let's have a look at some of the numbers for Kerr's Hire this afternoon. Kerr's Hire, your local hire company since 1982. And happy to hear from you on the K-Rock open line, 52232955, or text us 0456 955 955 with your thoughts on the Cats season so far. Benny, what do the numbers look like from today? What are the damning numbers team-wise against the Cats?
Oh, probably the clearances, Kingy, 39 to 23. Geelong didn't kick a goal from stoppages. Gold Coast only kicked three, mind you, but not often you'd go through a game of footy without kicking a goal from stoppage. Geelong kicked just one behind, and the stoppages were well in favour of Gold Coast, 39 to 23. Geelong actually had four more inside 50s. They levelled up the disposal count after getting beaten in that in the first couple of games. So that was split down the middle. Contested possessions, they were well beaten there. They were down 24, 145 to 121 in favour of the Suns. So individually, Stewart had 29 for the Cats, Cam Guthrie 28, Isaac Smith 23, Atkins 21, Tui 21, and Patrick Dangerfield 19 and a goal. And he also had eight inside 50s to go with that for the Suns. Well, it's probably, this has been a theme now for 3 weeks. The opposition halfbacks are just getting way too much of the footy. Lockie Well had 29. Some of those are kick-ins, Kingy, as you mentioned, but he was pretty good. McPherson was playing sort of halfback as well. He had 24. Rowell ended up with 24. Noah Anderson, 21 and a goal. Took Miller only had 20, which is unusual for him. They're low numbers for him. Long, the former Saint, 19. Holman, I thought, was good. 19, kicked a couple of points, but did some tough stuff. Casbolt, 18 possessions, took some nice marks. He had 11 contested possessions. Collins did a good job on Hawkins. And Swallow in game 200, 15 possessions and three inside 50s. But I think the home side well and truly deserved the victory. 73 to 54, probably maybe even flattered the Cats to the tune of maybe a goal or two. They were seemingly at sixes and sevens trying to keep up with the Suns, who moved the ball, albeit both sides made plenty of errors throughout the afternoon. In the end, the Suns made less, and Lukosius was the star, obviously. He kicked 5-2 from 11 kicks, including a 73-metre set shot in which he went back and said to the umpire, "I'm having a shot here." We all thought he was absolutely extracting the urine, and he wasn't, because he not only kicked the goal, but it went through by about 5 metres. So it was an extraordinary set shot, one of the biggest set shots you'll see. He started his run up in the middle of the double donuts, Kingy, and then just slotted it. And that was the game, because there was only goal of difference at that point, and that just absolutely shifted the momentum in favour of the Suns, and they went away to win comprehensively in the end.
Sandman Mattress Factory, fifth quarter.